Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Our guest today has been a student since 2020. Karthik Mulpuri is a multifamily syndicator with 168 doors and a core focus on acquisitions and underwriting. He uses his 15 years of experience as a startup executive, venture capitalist, and investment banker to run a strategic finance and management consultancy focused on helping early stage companies navigate fundraises, budgeting, planning, and forecasting. Welcome to the show, Karthik. How are you doing, brother?
Great. Thank you for having me. Glad to be on.
2020. Karthik, you got into it at a very difficult time. COVID's hitting. Things are slowing down. We thought the market was high. Why did you join? Why multifamily? For me, from reading your background, you're like, this guy is perfect. He's ideal for multifamily. What did it attract you? What was so attractive to you about multifamily?
Yeah, so let's take it back a few years. As you mentioned, I've been in the startup and tech space, you know, my whole career, right? And that's a very different dynamic from real estate, right? The bets there are very binary. You hit big or you miss, right? The misses are much more frequent than the hits. And so I wanted to tag team what I was doing there with something more stable, right? Which real estate, you know, checks the box there. And so I was living in New York, most of the 2010s. And so I started thinking about real estate in 2016, 2017. Wasn't sure how to get into the space at the time, especially with my full-time startup job that was taking up a ton of my time. And so I started off as a passive investor. So I invested in a syndication in 2018. And then when I started to think about getting active late 2019, early 2020, and I just wasn't sure how to get started at the time. And that's when I found you guys. And I joined the community in April, I believe, of 2020. So just as, COVID and the shutdowns were starting. And, you know, the thing about that time, right, is because, you know, everything was shut down, we found ourselves with a lot of time. And so I decided to take the time that I had, right, and use it toward educating myself.
So some people find Netflix and educate themselves that way. Jake and Gino community members find multifamily and start diving into multifamily. Karthik, I got to go back to the passive investment. What made you want to invest passively? I think it's genius. And did you learn anything from investing passively, saying, oh, I would have done that differently, or I like that opportunity? Can you walk me through that first passive investment that you had?
Yeah, so I invested in a institutional level deal in Dallas with a well-known operator. And, you know, what I learned from it, so the reason that I chose to do it in the first place, right, was I just thought that'd be tough to get active at the time, given the obligations that I had in my W-2 role and given my location, right? And at the time, too, like I didn't know that, you know, in multifamily, like you build teams, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can choose to focus on a specific, you know, item, right? And so I felt like passive was a good way to get in. And what I learned from it, right, is, you know, look, this mirrors companies oftentimes, but you've got your pro forma model, right? And the pro forma model is oftentimes rosy, right? And then there are bumps along the road that happen in reality. And so the reality does not match up with the pro forma. But the thing is, like, if you're buying in a good market at a good time, you can walk away with the target return or even better than the target return due to cap rate compression, right? And the thing is, like, that was a very different time back then versus the time that we're in, and we can dig into that in a bit. But I think that was a major learning, right? Market's very important, but then also timing is very important as well.
Karthik, when you joined in 2020, you were already like the vehicle of multifamily. Can you explain to somebody who's on here saying, you know, multifamily is really risky. I like single family homes, or I like self-storage. Why should I give multifamily another look? Why does Karthik like the vehicle of multifamily so much?
Yeah, it's a lot of reasons. The number one is, it's a business ultimately, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the major juxtaposition versus single family homes, right? The fact that, you know, you're valued off of the NOI you generate, right? Versus whatever, you know, the nearby homes are selling for on a comp basis. So you control your destiny a whole lot more in the multifamily space versus single family. And then when I compare multifamily to other institutional vehicles, so like let's take self-storage, let's take mobile home parks. I mean, multifamily is the asset class amongst those three that has been the most adopted by institutional investors and retail investors. It's the darling, right? And the fundamentals in multifamily overall are still long-term strong, right? And the issues that we're seeing in the sector, you know, I would marry that more to, you know, financing, right? Especially in a lot of markets versus, you know, operations themselves. You know, there are exceptions, obviously, because, you know, insurance and taxes have gone up quite a bit in some markets more than others. But that's how I see it. And then when I compare multifamily to more traditional commercial real estate asset classes like retail, industrial, and office, you know, it's, you know, the fundamental thing there, right, is when you lose a tenant, say, you know, in a multi-tenant, you know, strip center, you know, it might take a year, year and a half, 2 years to backfill that tenant, right? But if you lose a tenant in multifamily, you can backfill that tenant in weeks, right? And, you know, you just, you know, depending on the size of the multifamily that you're buying, you're more diversified too versus, you know, buying, say an 8-unit strip center. So, you know, there are safety fundamentals that you have with multifamily that you just don't have with the traditional commercial real estate asset classes.
Well said. And I would add, it's a basic human need, food, clothing, and apartments. And Karthik, before I go into your perspective and your evolution, talk to me about, you know, joining Jake and Gino, the buy right, the manage right, and the finance right. You touched a little bit about the finance and how people are having problems. It's not really the asset class. It's the strategy, the process they're not implementing. What did you lack when you joined Jake and Gino? What, I guess, what skills or what knowledge did you extract from the community?
Yeah, so I extracted knowledge in all three buckets. You know, the buy right piece came natural to me, right? Because I've been in finance my whole career. So it was fairly straightforward for me to pick up underwriting, right? It's just readapting my skill set from, you know, one use case to another. The financing piece too, you know, was able to pick that piece up pretty quickly because I have raised debt, raised equity for companies I've been with in the past. And I understand how capital structures work. I think the thing that I got from you guys around financing was the way that you guys did it, right? Which is for all your assets, or at least most of your assets, you started off by financing at a fixed rate with, you know, community bank, right? And once you stabilize the asset, then, you know, you refi it into agency debt, right? And the thing that I learned from that is, you know, one, it eliminates the variable, right, which is the rate, because you know what the rate's going to be, right? And I feel with real estate, you know, if we see it as a safer asset class, one of the things that we should be doing is eliminating variables. So there's that. But then the second thing that community bank debt gives you oftentimes is flexibility, right? So that debt oftentimes comes with, you know, fewer prepayment penalties than, say, agency debt has, right? So if you're able to really improve a property in a couple of years, then you can then refi into, you know, agency debt or other options. So that's something that we've used ourselves with most of our deals, and it served us really well through the cycle. And then with the manage right, you know, it was full on learning for me, right? I never bought a single family myself before I jumped into multifamily. Multifamily was actually the first direct real estate exposure I ever had, which is, I know, different from a lot of students who came from single family then went into multifamily. And, you know, the other major thing that I got out of the community was building a network. So all the deals that, you know, we have worked to this point are with, you know, fellow community members or folks that I met through the community. So my partner, you know, me focusing on the acquisitions, the underwriting, and, you know, finding capital partners, and my partner focusing on asset management and operations, I found him through a member of the community. So I would not have been able to find him otherwise.
Talk to me about that. I love what you just said. Most of us go from single family to multifamily. I did what you did. I owned a fourplex. I mean, to me, that was felt like a multifamily, but I went into my first deal with Jake at a 25 unit. I skipped the single family. What was the mindset for you? And tell the people out there, that's just a limiting belief, I think. I think they feel more comfortable single family and they're like, oh, I have to start there. But you didn't start there. I mean, go dive into that a little bit for the mindset that you had and why you thought it was beneficial for you just go straight multifamily.
Yes, a couple of things, right? One, again, as I alluded to, multifamily and just commercial real estate in general, it's a business, right? So it was, you know, and I've been around businesses my whole career, right? So that was one thing that didn't scare me, right? That I was just, you know, focusing on another business. And then the second thing was I was able to find a partner who had some experience and, you know, who understood how to execute asset management, right? That was a gap in my knowledge. And so that gave me the confidence to go straight into multifamily because I was able to build a team of folks with experience to work with. I was able to bring a unique skill set to it. But then, you know, you're able to complement my newness at the time to real estate as a whole with a set of experienced partners, you know, who had spent time in multifamily. One of those partners having spent 10 I think a decade in commercial real estate before coming to the Jake and Gina community. So that gave me confidence that we'd be able to execute and get results.
One thing you didn't mention was all the hard work you put in early on. You came out to St. Augustine. I hung out with you for a day, I remember. You've come to all the events. You do all the networking. There's a lot of work that goes into it. It's not like you just join something and it happens organically. I love the education, but you got to take the action. It's the implementation I think you were looking for. As being a passive investor, it's one thing. You don't have to implement as much. You still should have a framework, but being passive is one thing. But being able to implement is a totally different thing. And what you said about it being a business, I always say to students, we create multifamily entrepreneurs at Jake and Gino. And I had an epiphany several years ago. I don't know why it took me so long. You got it a lot quicker than I did. It just took me years to really understand that. What was your evolution or your perspective early on, and how has it grown since you joined in 2020 in multifamily in the space itself?
Yeah. So the first deal that we took on was a C-minus deal in a secondary market in Hampton, Virginia. And it's one where we bought it at a pretty low basis. It was very distressed when we bought it. And so, you know, we've learned quite a bit from that experience, right? So we had to entirely change out the tenant base. We changed property managers. And then we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on CapEx, both deferred maintenance and value add to get it to the shape that it's in now. And, you know, we've generated quite a strong unrealized return with that asset, given the improvements we've made. But we've also spent, you know, between my partner and I, at least a couple thousand hours, you know, on that asset, right? So it's one where, you know, when it's all said and done, it's going to be an awesome return for our investors. You know, that asset became a job also, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the evolution there, right, is, you know, we were finding it difficult to, you know, buy an asset in, you know, that market, that Norfolk Hampton Roads market, given the way that prices had shot up during COVID. And so the opportunity, just watching you guys, watching others in the community that I found was, why not look at strong tertiary markets? And so the market that we entered in late 2021 was Lynchburg. And Lynchburg is the fifth largest MSA in Virginia. It's where Liberty University is. And Liberty is the fastest growing university in the country with a multi-billion dollar endowment. And besides Liberty, it's a city with strong industrial manufacturing DNA. It's had that forever. And there are also other sectors that are represented in that economy. And the opportunity that we found there was that unlike the Hampton Roads, unlike Richmond, which is another market we were looking at, we just found way fewer institutional investors in those markets. And so what that meant is that there were pretty much every deal that we were looking at in that market had some sort of meat on the bone on it. Right. And so we were able to take the efficiencies that were being executed in those strong secondary markets and then applying them to the tertiary markets. And one of the cool things about the tertiary markets that we realized is that oftentimes, like, no one knows what the true rent ceiling is because a few folks have tested it. And so we've done a couple of deals in that market. We've we've gotten 106 units in that market. And both cases, you know, year one, we were getting, you know, year three, year four, year five rents up front. And the first asset that we bought there, we're getting rents way above what we dreamed when we bought that asset, right? And so, it's kind of like, you know, one of the learnings is, what is the pond that you're competing in? And sometimes it pays to be the big fish, or at least a smarter fish in the small pond, right? Versus one of many fish swimming in a bigger pond.
You're looking at the mom and pops, and that's what the secondary and tertiary markets allow you to do. They're not as sophisticated. So the thing is, they may at some point become the path to progress, where all of a sudden institutional money comes in, but you're there before and you're there to reap the benefits. Let me ask you, when we rip down the buy right, the manage right, and the finance right, how does that look like to you going forward? What is your buy criteria? And if you want to dive into manage and finance quick, you can also as well. Love to hear it.
Yeah. So on the buy right criteria, looking at anything that's between A minus to C plus. I feel in that range, you find a good mix of value add, but at the same time, a certain level of stability, especially with the renter base, right? It just helps to know that your renters are going to pay you every month, right? some of those basics. We continue to look in Lynchburg because one of the plays there, and one of the things that I learned from you guys with what you've done in Knoxville, is that as you buy more and more assets in a tertiary market, you can unlock more and more management efficiencies as well, right? So that was one of the things that enables us to buy our second asset in the market. Because we were able to get to 106 assets, we were able to get a property manager to split his time between the two assets, which brought the cost down for both assets and increased our NOI for both assets. So we're continuing to do that, continue to build the portfolio there. The challenge with the tertiary market sometimes is that, you know, during down periods like this, sometimes there really is no deal flow that takes place, no matter how hard you search. So that's one of the things to think about. But then I also think that going into 2024, the opportunity is going to start to open back up in the secondary markets that we were previously, blocked from entering. So, we're excited about that. And then we also look for special situations. So we made a strong run at an asset this year. We only didn't win it, but a LIHTC asset, right? So I think one of the hacks in the multifamily space is going after a LIHTC asset that is in the tail end of the LIHTC period. And just for everyone who doesn't know what a LIHTC asset is, sometimes a developer will choose to build an asset and then sell, basically get back a bunch of the outlay up front, through the form of tax credits, by deeding the property that they just built for low-income housing. And that deed generally runs for 30 years. And so on the back end of the 30 years, the thesis is, you take over when the rents are low, the NOI is low, but then on the back end, over the course of the hold period, you can replace the tenants in that asset with tenants who are willing to pay market rate rents, right? So you can see a massive spike sometimes in NOI. Because there's built-in arbitrage in that play, even in a tough market like this, that's a deal sometimes that you can make work and justify with the numbers. So that's one example. And then second, we continue to look at loan assumption deals, right? And we don't necessarily mind jumping into an asset where we're taking over a loan at a lower LTV and at a lower rate that still has quite a bit of term on it, right? Because the thesis there, right, is if you're able to underwrite to a certain cash on cash return, your debt service coverage ratio is also going to be very high because the debt that you're inheriting is less than the debt with, say, a new origination loan, and you're also getting charged a lower rate on it, right? So in terms of safety, that's another great play that we're looking at.
LIHTC is low income housing tax credit, and the irony is everything that Karthik is talking about, I don't want to call us the gurus, but we are, because we're doing it and we're teaching it. We're closing on a 96 unit that just is coming off the LIHTC contract. So we're just closing one in 2 weeks, and we're in these secondary markets and these tertiary markets, and this is stuff that's actually working right now. And oh, by the way, Karthik, there hasn't been that much deal flow in a lot of these primary markets either. So it's not like just like secondary, tertiary, because right now sellers, there's the delta where the sellers are still looking at 2022 and going, please, I want this price. And the buyers are like, the cost of capital is just doubled. How can I give it to you? And if you're a motivated seller and you're like Karthik and you've been in the business for a couple of years, that's why people always ask me, is now the right time? Now is absolutely the right time, because there will be opportunity in the next 24 months with a lot of these loans coming due, with a lot of people just wanting to sell. In the next decade, you have $10 trillion of money coming from baby boomers who are retiring and having to sell their businesses and their multifamily. So there's a ton of money that's going to be just coming into the marketplace anyway. Karthik, if I'm sitting here and I'm saying, you know what, I want to get into multifamily, Karthik can do it, Jake and Gino students can do it, I don't know if I can do it, where would you tell them to start? What are the first couple of things that they need to do to start to get into this business?
Yeah, I think the one thing to start with is figure out what your strength is, right? Figure out what you're good at, right? Because we're all good at something, right? And build a team around those strengths. So the things that you might not be good at, find folks who are good at it, right? And find folks that complement your skill set. And also find folks that share the same values and ethics as you do, right? Because that is super important in a space like this, right? And we've seen the importance of that play out, over the past year. We're going to continue to see that play out. So that's where I'd start, kind of self-assessment. What am I good at? What am I not good at? And where do I need to find folks that can help me in the space that I'm not good at?
Karthik, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years in multifamily and in your personal life and business life as well?
Yeah, my goal is to continue building out a strong portfolio, right? And, we've been focusing on the 20 to 100 unit asset category. And I think there is great value, right, in that category. And you guys have proved that out, right? Because, you know, that category is one where, you know, they're expensive for, you know, the doctor, to buy themselves. But at the same time, they're small enough where the institutional folks aren't necessarily interested. So that has been our focus. But we want to get to a point where, 3 to 5 years from now, we are competing for those institutional deals, right? But it's a case where, we need to, prove out the track record, right? To be able to, find those folks to work with. To compete on those assets.
Karthik, I love the story though. Your first deal, I wrote it down, C-minus area, a lot of deferred maintenance, a lot of CapEx. Most people would have considered that a failure, thousands of hours of work. I would put the letters ROE next to that deal, return on effort, a ton of effort, right? But what the great thing about it is, sometimes you can't quantify life by how much money you make, or what the return is, IRR. For you, this was a personal journey of jumping into a deal, getting your hands dirty, and understanding, well, this may not be the right asset for my next deal. This is great for my first deal, or even maybe my second deal, but this isn't going to be my fourth or fifth deal. And it's okay to be able to pivot and to say, I don't want to do 20 to 100 units, but that's what the market's giving me right now. And it's okay. And let me look forward to the future. And let me go from a primary market to a secondary or a tertiary market. All this stuff you would not have learned if you'd not taken that massive step back in 2020 to say, I'm just going to join and see what happens and leave it there. And I want to meet a few people and understand how this business, works and how this business revolves. Where can the listeners get a hold of you if they want to learn more about Karthik, if they want to learn more about how to partner with you? Where can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can reach out to me, 6thSenseEquity.com. That's the website of my firm. So, feel free to, reach out there. I'm happy to chat in detail. I'm also on Facebook. So if you want to reach out to me there, great. LinkedIn as well. So would love to chat with you.
Cell number? You want to throw your cell number out there? You can if you want to.
I've gotten a ton of spam calls over the years, so I am going to hold off on that. I actually got one of those robocall killers. Just give me a lot of things I'm
getting. I love it. Listen, what I love about it also is, you know, you start out back in 2016 knowing you want to get into it, and you don't figure out how to do it, but it doesn't stop you. You just took action, and that's the important thing. And it was a great action, not going out there buying yourself a duplex or a quad and trying to jump in yourself, because you had no experience. You were working 50, 60, 70 hours in your business. So you said, let me invest passively. That's the great thing about multifamily. There's so many different ways to get into it. You can get into it passively. You can get into it with other partners as becoming a co-GP, let's say. You could become a lead GP. You can get into a duplex or a house hack or a quad, or you can go out and buy your first 20 unit, whatever it looks like. It really depends upon your goals. And at the time, Karthik was really busy with his job. Now he sees, wow, this can be the future for me. I've got certain skills that translate really well. And what I love about it, your perspective has changed. Your perspective has evolved. And also for me, when I look at this, I'm like, okay, he kept saying it's a business, it's a business, it's a business. And what you also did, Karthik, which I'm really proud of, is you looked at what value you can bring to the table. And you have a couple of really strong suits as far as the financing, the capital raising, the underwriting. So as you're listening to this, try to diagnose what your skill sets are. Stop making excuses. Don't say that multifamily is only for the big investors, because people like Karthik and myself, we're still buying 20 unit deals. They're making sense. I love how you shifted into the secondary market as well. Any final words for the listeners, Karthik?
Yeah, you had a really good point there, right? So, you know, we just closed on a 20 unit deal in October. And of the deals that we've done so far, that's the smallest of the deals, right? But when you see a good deal, you do a good deal. I mean, to your point, you guys are still doing those 20 unit deals. So, and you know, the thing is, like, sometimes, you know, like the investment that you're making now in terms of time in something, it's going to pay off on the back end, right? Because there's going to be some advantage you get out of it. So, you know, as you alluded to, right, that first deal that we bought, we learned so much from running and operating that asset. There's just so much that I learned about asset management myself that I wouldn't have learned otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. Able to take that knowledge and apply it to some of the other assets that we've acquired. And then with the 20 unit that we bought, you know, the what we're getting out of it there is that it's our first asset in a market that we've been wanting to get into for a while, right? And like now that we're in that market, brokers and sellers know that, you know, we are legitimate buyers in that market. And so maybe the next asset that we buy is a bigger asset and we're able to put a stronger foot forward because we already own an asset in the market. So
I love that.
There are those untold advantages by dipping your foot in the water.
I love that. And I'll end it by saying, Karthik could have said, you know what, I made a lot of mistakes on my first deal, but now Karthik knows what not to buy. He knows what to focus on now. When he came on board, he wasn't sure about his business plan. He executed a business plan and that didn't stop. It could have worked really well. It didn't work as well as he wanted to. He's still going to make great returns, but he's like, I'm going to be able to pivot because I know I took massive action. I always say, think big, start small. Just start wherever you are. Take that next step. And what better way to join Jake and Gino and take with Jake and Gino? Karthik, I want to thank you for joining today. And listen, I will see you at the next Jake and Gino event. Thanks.